being transformed. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies by a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are on the verge of an exciting journey. I hope you can feel the intensity as it begins to rise. The intensity is going to build, and it's going to build, and then it's going to plateau, and then it's going to go higher. And you're going to see that, and you're going to experience much of that in the next few weeks. And so what you're about to experience, we're going to have a guide. The guide's going to be a guy named Paul. Paul was a unique kind of guy. He was born in the city of Tarsus. He was Jewish, but he was born a free Roman citizen. Early in his life, he went to the best of schools. He went there in Jerusalem. He was taught by Gamaliel, which was the highest ranking rabbi during that period of time. He became sold out, passionate, in so much that when these people who come along call people of the way, people who were following Jesus and being transformed and going in a different direction, he was so fired up about the way things had been that he went in and he started having them imprisoned, beaten, even stoned to death. Our tour guide, Paul, is going to be the very guy who was responsible for one of the first deacons, his name was Stephen, to be stoned to death for Jesus Christ. Well, Saul's name was Paul, and as we will hear, Paul was walking one day. He had gotten a letter from the chief priests, from the officials there in Jerusalem, to go up to a city of Damascus. And as you go to this city of Damascus, go up there, find the people of the way, grab them, imprison them, bring them back here, and we'll take care of them. Saul was like a bull just breathing out his nostrils. So intense, so believing that he was doing the will of God, that he was out with every fiber that he had, and he was moving up this road with a group of men toward Damascus, till suddenly he met Jesus. How did he meet Jesus? A bright light struck him down, blinded him. And then even Jesus spoke to Saul. Saul, Saul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Saul cried out, "Who are you?" That's a real good word, because he didn't know him. "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus, the one that's persecuting. You are persecuting. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do?" "Go to a nearby town, find a guy that's living there, and he's going to tell you what to do." He didn't tell him. He didn't lead him to the Lord right there. He introduced himself. On this journey, he had to remain blind for a few days until he heard the words of the freeing of Jesus Christ. When he heard about Jesus Christ, his life was transformed. Remember that bull rushing toward having people thrown into prison and killed? The same energy inside of this guy. Now he turns and he goes out into the desert area. And for 3 years, Jesus talks to him, teaches him about the truth and the reality. Paul comes back on the scene a transformed man. And when he came back on, he came back with the same vengeance, with the same passion, the same enthusiasm. Even so much that it led him to be beaten. It led him to be thrown in prison. It led him to be lied about. It led him to be stoned, left for dead. It led him to be shipwrecked. It led him to be out in the waters for a day and a half in the deep. Same guy. Well, in the course of this time, he wrote about 13 books. Our tour guide over these next 40 or 50 days is going to be the guy who wrote a major part of what we read in the New Testament. So therefore, when he tells us, "I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourself. He's not talking from hearsay. He's talking from the guy that if you looked at his clothes, were bloodstained. And he's talking the guy that ultimately led him to be killed, beheaded, martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, he says, present your bodies, living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. You know, your mind. A lot of things are going on in your mind right now. Boy, the dynamics that were going on a few minutes ago. I know Michael's not in here to hear this. Wasn't the music awesome? You know, if you stay with God, God stays with you. And the journey of 5 years, Michael being with us, the fruit is beginning to take place. Transformation. Folks, we've come a long ways. And as you see that we are being transformed, you have the opportunity over the next few days, next few weeks, for your life to be transformed. I'm expecting, I really am, I'm anticipating this not to be the same church today, 50 days from now. I really believe that. We're going to be transformed. By what? Bringing to life again the mind. You're going to hear some stuff that you've never heard before. You're going to be challenged beyond what you want to be challenged. And you're going to say, this? I got to do this? No, you're going to say, I want to do this. How's all of this going to work? You received a sheet. And inside of this sheet, it's so busy that I'm going to have to kind of tell you what you're looking at. Because there's one concept that I want you to see right here beyond anything else. Do you see? Jesus is our source to the glory of God. Do you see that up at the top? Everything that you're going to be experiencing over the next few weeks, it's for one purpose. The glory of God. So this is what's going to happen in your life. We're going to be going through different levels. I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to break it down a little bit further. So guys, we're going to stay on this sheet for a few minutes. What I want you to see, right there in the dead center, who do you see? Jesus. Jesus is our source. So glory begins with Jesus. Now, without going through this, where's the glory going to end? Jesus, who is God? It comes all the way back. Everything that you want to do is going to come back full circle to God. When I say Jesus and God, I'm talking about the same, okay? But Jesus is our source to the glory of God. Boy, that's confusing. We worship God. Understand Him in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when I talk about any of the three, I'm talking about God. But I want you to see the personalities that are coming into this. First personality, Jesus is our source. Now, that's going to be our level one. And level two, we're going to see that beginning with Jesus, He puts within us both the will and to do His good pleasure. Do you see number two there? Can you follow it? So when you're going to be establishing some goals in your life over the next 50 days, it's not coming from you. Let me say that again. It's not coming from you. Jesus is going to put something in your heart. This little light bulb's going to go off. It's going to start blinking. And you're going to say, this is the objective, or this is the goal. And you can say, man, I thought that up all by myself. Where does the glory start? You got it. It's with Jesus. And if you get the object, you're going to see the glory is coming from the throne of God. It's coming from Jesus. It's flowing. So He's going to put it in your heart, the desire and the ability to accomplish it. Now, He's going to give you two commandments to work off of. That's going to be our level three. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And what's the second one? See the two commandments? You got to love God, and you got to love who else? Your neighbor. You get that, Arnie? You got to love God, and you got to love your neighbor. That's the command. Who gave us that commandment? Jesus did. He gave it to us. God gave it to us in the Old Testament, and He didn't change it. Jesus said, it's all built around these two commandments. Love God. Love your neighbor. All right, you with me so far? Okay, all right. Now, third thing that's going to happen, you see that we're going to move from there into compassion. Can you find number four? It's back on your left side. You find that compassion. That compassion is coming from Jesus, who sees the suffering and sees our journey and sees our life. Jesus not only feels what you are going through, but He feels it to the point that He wants to be involved. He doesn't just say, man, that guy needs a meal. You know what He does? Gives him the meal. He not only sees you needing clothes, but you know what He does? He put clothes on your back. Isn't that awesome? That's coming out of the compassion, the love of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go one step further with this. Now, during the course of this time, number five, we're going to be hitting several areas right there. We're going to be talking about your spiritual health, physical health, mental health, emotional health, financial health, relational health, and vocational health. Did I leave anything out? Aaron, you got it? But if it flows out of you through these five areas, that's one reason why it's so important for you to be a part of a small group for these next 40 to 50 days. Now, we're going to be emphasizing it, teaching it through the pulpit. But folks, if you want to know where you learn stuff, small group. You ought to hear Mr. Amos on a Sunday morning. He brings 95 years of wisdom. Oh, no. 8 years of wisdom into the class. It's nothing like it. It's just nothing like it. And when you get away and you take your shoes off and you eat a good meal, Michelle's cooking a good meal, right? Okay. If it's not good, just smile at her. Okay. When you're in Rome, you do as the Romans, and when you're at Michelle's, you... Okay, all right. Now, so you're going to enjoy that, okay? But you're going to be hitting all these different areas. Uh-oh. You can't go there as a bystander. Nobody's going to point you out. Well, in our class I might. But nobody's going to point you out. But each one of you are going to be asked. Set a goal. 3 months. Set a goal. Each week, you as an individual are going to be asked. Set a goal. It's not something that you can... And we're going to talk about that. Set a goal in your life. Now, when you do this, all of the glory goes back to who? God. If over the next 40 or 50 days, the glory doesn't go to Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? You see number 6 at the top on the left-hand side? The Scripture says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Got that? Impossible. You don't have the faith, you don't please God. And some of the goals and all we're going to be establishing, let's just take a for instance, and I'll go over this with you in a few minutes. I want to lose weight. Okay? And so for the next 3 months, I want to lose 6 ounces. Okay? All right? Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that's the faith that God's looking for? No, I don't think so. Without faith, what the goals that you're going to set, if you can do that without thinking, blinking your eyes, that's not really a faith goal. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to be the ones. It's you and God. It's not going to be you and the preacher. Not going to be you and my small group. You may be accountable in your small group. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, if you come to the small group and all of a sudden you say, well, wait a minute, you know what? I'm going to do something. And it's not motivated by love. It doesn't bring honor to God. No matter how good it might, whatever that goal might be, no matter how good it is, if it doesn't have the right motivation behind it, guess what's going to happen? Look at the extreme right, the top right. You see the flesh? Everything that you are going to do over the next 50 days is going to be tried by fire. Everything. Let me repeat that. Everything you do over the next 50 days is going to be tried by fire. That which is good is going to be rewarded. That which is not proper, that which does not bring glory to God, is going to be burnt up. And the Scripture says this. He says, you are going to suffer loss. Reward, loss. Wax on. Okay. All right, y'all got it. That's the way it works. You with me now? So I encourage you to kind of keep this in mind, because over the next 50 days, you're going to say, hey, I need to get back and focus. Really, what is this all about? So let's talk about that. We're coming back and we're bringing this thing back in focus now. So what we're looking at, we're going, all glory. The glory begins. Where does glory begin? Now, right, we're in number one right there, and I'll tell you when to move, guys. We're still in number one right there. John 17:5 says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Where did the glory start? Yeah, Jesus. Where did the glory start? When did the glory start? Before the world ever began, Jesus was in His glory. Now, you were created for His glory. Oh, if you realize that you were created for His glory, see the cycle of life? How it all comes. Now, you're created for His glory. Complete the cycle. Anything out the cycle is going to be what? You got it. It's got to be into the cycle. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're going to do a little practice right here. When I say amen, you say, let's practice again. When I say amen, you say, okay, I'm going to just read the Scripture. I'm not making this up. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. John 1, 24, 25, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior who is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." Matthew 6, 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do you see it? Can you sense it? It's the glory. So now what we've traveled, next slide. Now what we've traveled, we're now bringing all of this thing into a cycle. And I want you to see this cycle. We're going to start with the source. That's Jesus. Okay, then we're going to move over into the sovereignty. That's the one who's going to put in you both to do and to will. The desire and the ability to make it happen. We're going to touch the supreme rule. The supreme rule, two commandments. Love God and love your... The superlative love is going to be how that Jesus Christ had compassion on us. And we're going to see how that not only did He have compassion on us, but we are going to see how that He got involved in it. He didn't talk about you being hungry. He gave you food. Then we're going to take a serious makeover. How many of y'all would like to have a makeover today? Yeah. Serious makeover. That's what we're going to look at. Spiritual relationship, your spiritual health, your physical health, your emotional health. Man, we're going to take a serious makeover. And then, if it's not in the growth cycle, if it's not in the glorious cycle, there's going to be some suffering loss. Okay, do you know where we're headed? Amen? Good, I threw that one in for free. Okay, so you know where we're headed now. So how does all of this, next slide. All of this begins when we look at the source. Jesus said these words in Matthew 28, 18. He said, "All power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth." So if we are going to accomplish the goals that bring glory to God, it starts with the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. He is our source. An interesting verse, Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Let me test your mind. All things were created what? Through Him? For Him. Whoa. Troy, where does that put you? You were created through Jesus Christ, and you were created for Jesus Christ. You see how the circle is complete now? Now you know why you were created, and that is to bring glory. So if we're going to do this, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "If then you were raised with Christ..." Excuse me a second. I got it. "If then you..." I got the water. I'm okay, brother. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." Okay, now here it is. Catch this. "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." With me? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. You know who just went broke? Television. They can't sell an ad now because they focus on things on the earth. We focus on things above. All right, now, you got the source, but look, next is the sovereignty. The sovereignty, it is in Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His what? For His good pleasure. Why did God create you? For His good pleasure. He puts inside of you both the desire, the to-do. But Benny, can you do it? Benny can do it because He also puts in him the ability. Isn't that awesome, Benny? That is so awesome. To will, to do. To will, to do. I got to get those right because I don't want y'all going off, okay? All right, to will and to do. Therefore, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Let this what be in you? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How far are you supposed to carry this out? Even to death. That's the cycle of life. And when you carry out the cycle of life, you receive eternal life. That's the reward. Now, there's going to be level 3. We're talking about the supreme rule. And the supreme rule says, found in Matthew, in Mark 12, 29, 31, it says, I'll give you the short version, it says, love the Lord your God. And what does He leave out? With all your heart, your soul, your mind, and what? Your strength. Wow. That's the standard. You want to know the cycle of life? If we're going to bring God to glory, what do we got to do? That's called putting it all on the line. You put it all on the line, you got to have at least 2 categories. You got to love God, and you got to love your neighbor. There's no in between. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people." Where is God going to write the law? 2 places. Where? In your mind. He's going to put it in your mind. Where else? He's got you. You got it up here, you can have it down here. You don't have it down here, you don't have it up there. You got to put your whole heart into it. Body, soul, mind, spirit, strength. Because He does this because of the superlative love. Look at that superlative love. "And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them, and He healed them." John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us." By the word, wait. That word compassionate is a word about your bowels. Isn't that a good conversation? A yearning inside of you that's so deep. The most inward part, that yearning. But you yearn so much inside of you that you do something about it. You know when your stomach's churning, right? So do the rest of us, some of you. Okay, you know when your stomach's churning. But inside of us, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind and having compassion for one another. You're going to love God, right? And you're going to have compassion for one another, right? Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You see that superlative love in there? That sympathy, that compassion. Now let's hit the serious makeover. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. When I say gird up the loins of your mind, please, what I'm about to say, think of it on the high nature. The loins of the mind. The loins. The procreation power. You with me? The procreation power. Let the procreation power of your mind. That's what that word means. That energy. Let the mind, how your mind works, it's clicking. It's going on. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Isn't that pretty neat? We did a lot of stuff because we just were stupid. Hadn't you done a lot of stupid stuff? I know I have. But now I'm supposed to know better. Don't be conformed to the stupid stuff. You know better now. But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Boy, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to take you to the prodigal son and we're going to learn about reviewing. We're going to review the prodigal son's life. We're going to follow that up with relating to the Good Shepherd. Does anybody know the 23rd Psalm? Can you quote it? Good. You'll be ready for that sermon. Then we're going to be renewing the mind out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to have to recalculate our values, looking at Mark 12, 29. Finally, we're going to look at relationships being adjusted in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Don, does that sound pretty exciting? Yeah! Woo! All right, amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm excited, Don. I'm really excited of what God is going to do. Now, folks, level 6 talks about without suffering loss, we don't want anybody to wax off. We don't want you to do over the next 50 days without faith. We don't want you to do without the right motivation. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. We don't want nobody to suffer loss. We want the cycle of life. Next slide. The source, the sovereignty, supreme rule, superlative love, serious makeover, and suffering loss kicked out. Michelle, you still with me? Okay, she's still with me. All right, now we hit this thing in high gear. Next slide. What goals are important in my life? And I hope you got these scriptures down someplace. If you don't, because you're going to have to be the one that's going to have to read them. Time's going to run out for me today to spend all the time that we need in this. Goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. God expects you to respond to Him in faith. And He's going to tell you that inside of the Scripture right there. Next slide. Goals are statements of faith. Whatever you write down, the goals that you're going to write down, it's going to be a statement of your faith. So if you're going to lose weight, don't put 6 ounces. Please, okay? Because you're just going to tell God, I really trust you just a little bit. Those are statements of faith. Because you see, what you commit to is going to perform what you're going to do. Next slide. Goals focus my energy. Goals focus my energy. Because what happens here is when I'm focusing on Jesus Christ and accomplishing His glory, a lot of this other stuff is to the side. We stop wasting time. A lot of us waste time because we're not focused in the goals that God has for us. Next slide. Goals keep me going. Goals keep me going. In other words, when you want to quit, your goals are going to keep you going. 4 weeks into transformation, there will be some people said, I'm tired of this. Let's go on to something else. But because you got a goal to meet every class, whether you want to or not, you're going to get up and you're going to go because that was a goal that you established. Goals keep you going. When you want to quit being a Christian, I want to be Christ-like. It's going to keep me going. When you want to stay sober, the goals are going to keep you going. When you want to pray daily, the goals are going to keep you going. Next slide. Goals build my character. Because God is going to exercise me. God is going to stretch you. He's going to stretch you through. He's going to stretch me. I don't like to do what I'm about to do, folks. Excuse me. I don't like for people to tell me to make an objective because then I got to keep it. If I say it, I got to do it. If I don't do what I say, then don't say it. It's better for you not to say it and don't do it. It's better for you just say, don't write down the goal if you're not going to do it. Well, I ain't going to write down. That's what I figured. You write it down. Goals, it's going to build your character. Next slide. Good goals will be rewarded. This is a fact. God's going to get the glory. And folks, when God gets the glory, you get the benefit. The cycle of life is going to be complete. Next slide. What kind of goals is God going to bless? God's going to bless the goal. When we make these goals, we've got to ask ourselves the question, will it honor God? I'm not concerned as much about my welfare as my honoring God. Next slide. Is it motivated by love? The Bible says if you don't have love in this motivation, it's just like sounding a little tinkling bell. You can give your body to science. But if you don't do it with love, you get nothing out of it. Is it motivated by love? Number three, next. Will it require depending on God? Will it require depending on God? The goals that you set, make it be where you depend on God. If I can do it in my own strength and it's not a faith walk, it's just an exercise. But if I have to depend on God to make this happen, then God's going to get the glory. So, will it require depending upon God? And then you begin to think about it. I need God's Spirit to empower me. I really do. If God's Spirit doesn't make it happen in my life, it's not going to happen. I need God's Spirit to empower me. I also need God's Word to guide me. This is not, you're not going out solo. You're not going out your own spirit. You need God's Word to guide you in this journey to accomplish these objectives. And I need God's people to support me. That's one reason why I talk so much about small groups. Folks, I come around you and y'all encourage me. I go around the lions and they try to devour me. All of us need to be encouraged. There's not a person in here. Gary, I remember when we were meeting together on Saturday night. That was awesome. Gary and Denny used to meet over at the house on Saturday night. By the way, y'all remember that bald-headed guy in that picture that I had? Everybody thought it was Gene. It was actually Denny. Okay. It was awesome. We need God's people to support. Next slide. That's it. Now we're off to the races, okay, guys? That's where we're headed. Are you ready? I think we're ready. I challenge you with I didn't bring my book up here, but we've got these books that you're going to be given that are awesome, that'll lead you with a journey. And you stay with it 50 days from today, you'll have been transformed. That person that somebody's looking at right now is going to be different. Carolyn, can you imagine improvement on Benny? I know that's hard. But he's going to be a new man. God is going to transform. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to have a word of prayer. Then following a time of prayer, we're going to give you the opportunity to go to the altar. If you want to spend time with God there? We're going to give you the opportunity. Hey, look, people have been asking me, how do I join the church? And I tell them this. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Number two, have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? And number three, you join the church by attending a small group Bible study with us one day. We have a new members class. We're going to have that new members class probably the week following the 50 days. Because there will be people who are want to become members as a result of this 50 days. And so for you who are looking forward and been asking questions, that's how we're going to do it. You have to come down front to become a new member? No, but if you want everybody to love on you and slobber on you, I invite you to come. A lot of people encourage because you walked out and said, I want to join, man. They're encouraged by that. And they get to know you. Yeah, we do that. Walk the aisle? Sure we do. You have to? No, you don't. I know that's unbaptistic. But you don't have to walk the aisle, but it sure does help. Let other people rejoice in what you're doing. Follow the Lord. If you want to be saved today, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you want to be saved today, I'm going to ask you to go to Brother Jim. Brother Jim, I'm going to ask him, somebody wants to be saved, come to you, okay? All right, you're going to come to Brother Jim this morning. Somebody wants to pray, Joe? I want you to come over here and sit on that front chair over here, would you? Go ahead right now. Joe's going to be over here, and if you want somebody to pray with you, walk over there. Joe's going to be praying with somebody in that. You want somebody to pray with you? Right there. Okay? Michelle, would you go over here and sit at this end? If you want somebody to pray with you this morning, Michelle's going to be right over here. And she's going to pray. A lady. I encourage ladies to go to ladies and men to go to men. Spend that time. Somebody's going to pray with you. Others, we're going to be thinking about Jesus, making commitments, praising God. Some of us are just, during this time of invitation, we're just going to thank God. That's all you're going to do is thank God. That's okay. That's okay. Let's get ready. Let's stand together as the music begins.